course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave, and this week we're joined by a reoccurring friend who's filling in for Ike, Monica. Monica, how are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm great. Kind of a weird thing since we've already, spoke all morning for you to ask me how I'm doing, but okay.
Things change on the dime.
Sure does. So this episode, Monica's filling in for Ike, who's on vacation for his birthday slash anniversary. And we are reviewing the adaptation of the Stephen King novel, the new movie called The Long Walk, that is out in theaters now. Before we get there, Monica, did you watch anything else this week?
I sure did. I actually finished up The Revival, which is that horror series on Peacock, which I highly recommend. I don't if you're familiar with the it's an adaptation from the comic books, and it did the books justice. I also watched 30 Miles from Nowhere, and you watched that with me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it was going to win any Oscars, but it had an interesting little twist to it. Watched it because I'm a fan of Rob Benedict, who famously played God in the Supernatural series. And I tend to like do this thing where I watch a movie with an actor and then I'm like, ooh, what else? And so I watched Callback with Rob Benedict, and that was a pretty funky movie. So
was that a horror movie also?
Oh, it is. It's he plays a director. And he kind of, he's a horror director. He basically hires this girl because he wants to get with her. And let's just say that it doesn't turn out the way he expects. It was pretty, I would say if you're not a fan of torture, maybe not watch it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you watch?
Well, we like you said, we watched 30 Miles from Nowhere, which I didn't expect much out of, but it was surprisingly better than I expected, at least. Like you said, it wasn't great, but it was fun. It was a fun watch. I'd recommend people give it a watch.
Ooh, I don't remember her name, but if you like the series Elsbeth, yeah, she's in it too.
Yeah, she was great. And let's see, the only other thing I think I watched, I did watch season two of Wednesday, which was fun. I do like the Wednesday show, so that was fun. I think that was it. I think it's all I watched horror related. So
you will see me watching more and more horror because I really start grooving on horror in the fall. It's kind of
yes.
like my hot chocolate thing. I only drink hot chocolate in months and with Berg. So
yes, that's right. Okay, well, not doing us a lot of good today, but you did watch something at least, I guess.
Hey. I watched three somethings. I
think
that's at four if you count the movie that we're reviewing.
That's better than Ike sometimes, better than me sometimes. So it's all good. So, all right. Well, then let's take a break. And when we come back, Monica will have all the news, birthdays, and anniversaries for us. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
Welcome back. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not Ike, so don't hold me to that standard. But let's get started with the news. So fans of the Toxic Avenger, it will be available video on demand starting September 30th. And then you can pick up the physical media at your Walmart, your Target, or wherever you shop on October 28th, just in time for Halloween. I don't know if you saw, but it's being reported that A24 has signed to film and TV rights for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. And there's a lot of rumblings that they are looking at planning a series, which is, kind of the new thing.
Yeah, I wonder what they'll do with the series, where that'll lie in. I don't know.
Well,
I hope whatever they do, they kind of do the Texas Chainsaw 2 and bring in the whole family, because that's when it really got super fun.
and I think that's what you could see. I mean, you could, the first one was absolutely terrifying, but the others got a little campy. You could take this back to terrifying super easy by really expanding on the history of that family and what made them absolutely so fucked up. Am I allowed to say fuck? Okay, so fucked up, I mean, they make my family look like the Waltons. So, I think a series would be fantastic, which you know how I feel. I love horror series, so.
I keep saying that the series is where a lot of these franchises need to go, and that's the proper tool that they can really expand upon, and so.
Well, and I think it can allow you to tap into an audience other than horror fans because, take for instance, The Revival. That's probably something that if that went straight to a movie, there are people that would have been like, ah, it's just a horror movie. Well, there's a lot of people watching it on Peacock that probably, when they looked at it, because it doesn't just come across just as a horror movie. There's a lot of action, there's a lot of suspense in it. I mean, it definitely has its horror, but and I think it will tap into people who still like some of that darker stuff, but don't consider themselves horror movie fans.
I mean, lots of franchises are doing that now. I mean, right, we got the Crystal Lake thing coming up for the Friday. We
Yes.
supposedly have a Conjuring series in the works in the future, they're saying. So yeah, there's lots of series that are, I mean, it worked for Child's Play with the Chucky series. That was really good
Oh,
and
absolutely.
revitalized it. So yeah, it's again, it's one of those still kind of a relatively new tool as far as horror goes, for them to really dive in, but you're starting to see it more and more. And yeah,
Well,
I'm excited. Anything Texas Chainsaw, I'm on board for, to give it a shot.
and like Megan 2.0 was not super well received, but imagine if they had taken that and instead went to a series with that. I think you would have maybe seen that get a lot better reception.
Maybe there needed to be
Well,
a lot more than that to save that movie, but
you have more time for character development in a
I
two
don't.
hour than a 2 hour movie. So I don't know. You know me, I'm not a big fan of the Megan movie, so I'm just trying
I'm not sure character development was the problem with 2.0, but
to be nice. All right, so moving on. Insidious 6 is officially coming out on August 21st of 2026. Lynn Shea and Amelia Eve are signed on to star. So mark that in your next year calendar. Megan 2.0, which we were just talking about, is coming to Peacock on September 26th. And they are going to have both the theatrical and the unrated cut. So maybe the unrated cut. No, there ain't. Never mind. And we do want to note that Pamela Shaw, who
Paula.
played Paula Shaw, was Pamela.
That's Mrs. Voorhees' first name.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Paula Shaw, who played Mrs. Voorhees in Freddy versus Jason, passed away on September 10th at the age of 84. So I'm sorry to hear about that. Upcoming birthdays, September 21st of 1947 is Stephen King, the very author of the book that the movie we're reviewing today was based on. Also on the same day, same year, Nick Castle, who played the Shape in the original Halloween, celebrated.
Yeah, he's also there's a new Halloween game coming out. And Nick Castle's actually doing the stop motion capture for the game.
Really?
Yeah, so.
That's cool. And then September 22nd, 1959, which, hey, I'm going to tell you, he looks good for this age. Mark Patton, who played Jesse in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which I liked. I know a lot of people are kind of iffy about it, but I liked it. So
Yeah, I think
happy birthday.
more people are coming around on it now than they did originally.
And you know, and he's done some interviews and stuff, and I really think it kind of opens kind of people up to the movie a little more. So
Yeah, there's a whole, I think there's a whole documentary about it.
yeah.
The movie was actually pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I don't even know. It was very, I can't think of the word. It was not well for Mark at the time
No.
because it essentially forced him out and
Yeah.
unknowingly, without, but obviously now he's worked through some of that and come to terms with some of that, and
Yeah.
it's a pretty good story. But yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some anniversaries because we got some here that are actually pretty cool. So, we got September 18th of 87, Hellraiser, the original Pinhead movie. Same day, but in 2009, Jennifer's Body, which some could say starred a Pinhead. Let's see, September
Yikes.
19th. I'm just kidding.
Woo.
September 19th, 2014, Tusk. It was not the first entry in horror by Kevin Smith, but it was probably the most interesting.
Creepy.
It was. September 22nd, 1995. Seven, which do you want to know a little?
What's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the box? Well, you know, I had just given birth to my oldest son. And I really wanted to see this movie. So his birthday was the 16th. So when he was 6 days old, I took him to see Seven.
Dude.
Didn't know. He was asleep.
I guess.
So
Such
anyway,
a good movie, though.
it is. You know what? Anyone who has not seen it needs to. I mean, it's an insane cast. I mean, you start with Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt. But Gwyneth Paltrow's in it. There's just so many people, and
I'm down for any movie that's got Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box. So,
true story.
not a Gwyneth Paltrow fan, but.
And then September 24th, 2004, we've got Shaun of the Dead, which I go back and forth on if it's a true horror movie because it's just so funny too. So.
It's a zombie movie.
It is. You are
It's
not wrong.
a great love letter to George Romero.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but the most important anniversary that's coming up is September 22nd. That is the 3 year anniversary of this podcast. Listen to their screams. And as someone who is set on the sidelines, I am so incredibly proud of you and Ike. I mean, you guys took something that you loved, a shared love of horror movies, and you turned it into this little podcast, and it has grown every single year. So, congratulations on your 3 year anniversary.
I mean, it's, I don't know. It's not hard to sit here and talk about horror movies when you love them. That's a no one can ever say that I don't have the ability to talk. So
Yeah.
when I talk about something I love, it's, I don't know, it's not really hard, and I can I gel well, and it works.
Absolutely.
We have
Absolutely.
similar views, but yet there's enough times when the age difference causes a differing view that makes it interesting. So
Yes,
it
absolutely.
it's nothing if not interesting and entertaining, I guess. And hopefully people enjoy it. So
Absolutely.
we try
So,
to be positive and supporting of the horror genre in whole, and
oh,
it is
trust
what it is.
me. You guys, I am like, since I am like totally not a horror junkie, I mean, I enjoy horror movies. And you guys are like, you know, I'm going to give it three screens. And I'm like, seriously, What's wrong with you? But anyway, so upcoming releases. We're recording this podcast a little late, and it'll come out a
Yes.
little late because of me. So I do apologize. But Him is coming to theaters today, September 19th, when this podcast comes out. And it's being described as a young athlete trans descends into a world of terror when he's invited to train with legendary champion whose charisma curdles into something much, much darker. And I've got to tell you, I am so looking forward to this movie. I really, truly am. I almost feel like that I'm going to view it as a documentary, as an insane football fan, and try to figure out whose life it was based on. So,
Yeah, it's, I mean, super fun, right? It's got,
yeah.
what I like is it's got Marlon Wayans, right? I like it when a guy steps out of what they're known for and does something a little different. That's cool. So Marlon Wayans,
Yeah.
I think, is going to be good in the role. But yeah, we're gonna review this next episode. I'm looking forward to it. We got kind of a string of what I view as strong movies coming up,
Absolutely.
and starting. Well, I think it started with this one, The Long Walk, for this week. But yeah, him, I think him definitely keeps that up. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you guys will be seeing this movie, and I think this might be one that I actually tag along on.
So be it. Good to know.
I'll buy the popcorn.
That's right. There you go. You're invited then. Kick us to break.
Oh, so yeah, clearly I am not Ike because I forgot that I'm supposed to tell you that we will be back with our review right after this message.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for, there's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back here and listen to the screams, and we are reviewing The Long Walk. And as you can see, me and Monica, it's funny, we don't there's not as much chit chat as me and Ike. And that might be probably because we chit chat so much all the time, and maybe it's just not getting captured. But maybe we should just mic up all the time. And but The Long Walk was adapted by J.T. Molnar, and it's based on the 1979 novel by Stephen King, which I believe he wrote under a pen name. But I'm not 100% sure on that. But anyway, it was directed by Francis Lawrence, starring Cooper Hoffman, David Johnson, Mark Hamill, and others. It's funny because I watched this entire movie and did not realize until I was making the notes that the major was played by Mark Hamill. And that just made it even more cool for me that Luke Skywalker played the major in this movie. I love me some Mark Hamill. Movie was released September 12th in theaters and is still out there. And it grossed $11,793,621 on its open weekend domestically. Good for number four domestically on opening weekend. Not too bad. There's some strong movies out there right now, but number four is not bad. But again, we try to be spoiler free on this movie, or excuse me, on this podcast. But I will say that I super enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun. I thought it was suspenseful. But I think one of the best things of this movie was that it was one of those kind of movies that could have so many interpretations based on who the viewer was. We don't talk political on this podcast per se, but there's so many parallels, so many whatever you want to call it, frames of reference from the political climate that you could pull from this podcast. If that's your thing. Again, it was written in 1979. Nobody, I mean, Stephen King is a political person. He's very outspoken online. But he did not write this about the current political climate. Did JT in his adaptation have that? I don't know. I can see lots of parallels there. If you want to pull things out of it, it's there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of this and that. But even if you don't want to view that side of it, I think it was just a this kind of cool, almost dystopian type thing, right? It's almost Mad Maxian. It's not this completely apocalyptical word, but it is. It's got some of that kind of same flavor as The Purge, right? There's this one once a year event, this long walk that these people, it's a big deal. These people are in it, and it's this big event, but knowing that they can very well die if they don't win, which is this weird dichotomy. But it's praised within this universe. And I know, Monica, when you watched the movie, one of the things you asked me was, when does this take place? I don't know. I don't know if it matters. I think it's kind of this parallel universe that I don't know. I don't know if the time really matters. I think you can almost plug it into about any time period and it works. But I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it had a lot of suspense. It had some, if you like a little bit of gore, a little bit of blood, there was some of that. I thought there was suspense. There was a clear villain in the movie, some clear heroes in the movie. But I think the to me the best was the acting with, I think it was Cooper Hoffman, David Johnson, who played the two main characters who developed this friendship. I thought that was the backbone of it, was the friendship between these characters, what they developed, and how that fit into this wacky ass scenario. And then that plays very heavily, again, no spoilers, but plays very heavily into the finish, which one could suspect. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. I love the fact they got in and out in 90 minutes. They didn't overplay it, which you could have done with a movie like this in 2025, but did not need to be done. I thought this movie was super fun. And I don't, again, it's not a groundbreaking movie. It's not something that's redefining a genre. But I don't see a lot of flaws. I thought it was well cast, well acted, well written. And it was just, I think it was just a fun, maybe it's a loose interpretation of horror. It was maybe a little more of a thriller. But I thought it was a super fun movie. So, Monica, what did you think of The Long Walk?
Well, listen, I had read the book in the 80s. Amazing book. Now, back in the 80s when I read it, I really saw it almost like a parallel to like the Vietnam War. You had the draft, you had these people, going into this thing and watching their friends die, and Stephen King is very political, like you said. So, even back then, when you look at his books, there's always, I don't think I've read one of his books that you couldn't see at, in some aspect, a either a political or a dystopian take on something that had happened in our country. So when I read the book, obviously, and I will tell you that there is a big difference with the ending of the book and this. And obviously, we're not going to talk, about the ending since people need to go watch it. But the winner in the movie is not the winner in the book. And there is a, it's, I mean, it's heart-wrenching. Like you said, you could literally take different moments in time and consider this because it's definitely in the future because it talks about, the war and the major talks about how, the long walk, it revitalizes our citizens because, the number one problem in America is, complacency and laziness. I mean, you don't have to go very far in our country right now to find leaders who say stuff like that. So, the movie is you get so invested, especially when the two main characters start talking about, their reason for volunteering for this, because they're vastly different backgrounds. You have one who had no family. He was an orphan because both of his parents died. They don't really specify what the war was about, but you get that it was huge. This wasn't like a skirmish or something like that. So his parents died when he was very young, and he didn't have that family. And then your other that was McVries, and then Garrity, it was the other way around. His dad, one of the things that you kind of see is you find out that the government after this war, they basically said, hey, these are the things you can listen to, these are the things you can read, these are the things you can talk about. And so you have this oppressive government that basically has determined what you can think and what you can do. And his dad went against that and was teaching him things from, I think, did they refer to it as the old world or the old ways?
No, I think it was the old world. I can't
Yeah,
remember though.
and he got found out, and they bring his family out
Well,
of the,
don't give too many spoilers then.
right, and he, and that entire one moment in his life of just absolutely, it changed everything for him. So in a lot of ways, you could consider this not just horror, but almost science fiction. And when you get to the end, I wasn't expecting the end because, like I said, it's vastly different than the book. But I remember looking at you and being like, what just happened? So, and it's really hard to kind of surprise me with movies. And it did. And it was very emotional because you have 50 characters, and obviously they don't delve into each one. That would maybe it'd be like 10 hours long. But the ones that they did, they're so different that there is at least one that you're going to be able to relate with.
Yeah,
So
and early on it was weird because it was like because they did start and introduce a bunch of characters kind of rapid fire.
yeah.
And when watching it, I almost thought, oof, this is they're overloading a little. This is going to be a bit much. But they really did a very good job of adding some layers to each of these characters as they went along.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of each of these characters representing different aspects. And like I said, it is very much a movie though that if you, overall you could it's like you could pull out and drop pretty much anywhere in time and there's something that that you could say, oh yeah, that fits that historical period or that historical period. I mean, the at the core, the principles, it's not that irrelevant, and it's very, again, I don't want to get political, but there's a lot of very relevant aspects of this to the modern landscape. Yeah,
Absolutely.
it's very well done. And again, like I said, there are some, I won't say graphic, but there are some semi-graphic kills in it, right? There are some whatever. If you're into that part of horror, there is some of that there. But again, there's a lot of tension. It depends on what you want out of horror. This is more of a tension building thrill type horror overall. But it is this, this what you want to think is an alternate universe, right? An alternate timeline of what could be, what might be, what, I guess you could, what could potentially be. You never know. But but it is also very much a movie that if you just watch it at face value, it's still fun, still entertaining. Fun might be a weird word, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah, I
But it's still entertaining, and it's still, even if you don't want to think too deeply about it and any messages behind it, it's still a very entertaining movie.
just to take it face value, with this concept of this quote unquote almost like a game show type deal, right? An event that that people get swept up in and partake in, and that comes up in it, right? This event and the aspect of people participating, that's a point in this movie of the you know, why are they participating? What is it? Why, you know, why is this a thing? And it is, it's bewildering, but it's, that happens. People get caught up in things. And, you know, Stephen King has a way about that, of interpreting things and seeing things. And I think this was adapted pretty well to the movie. I thought it was, you know, I'm a sucker for a Stephen King movie, a Stephen King adaptation. And I think this is a good one. I think it works very, very well. And I have to say that I guess I'm a bit surprised it's taken this long for them to attempt to adapt it. I don't know. It seems peculiar.
Well,
to me.
You know, this wasn't the first shot. They initially, back in the '80s, approached George Romero. To direct, and it just didn't happen. And then by early 2000s, Frank Darabont secured the rights to it. And, you know, even when he secured them, he said, you know, that he would get to it sometime. But then I think, gosh, I looked this up. I think it was 2019, 2018, New Line Cinema. Said they were developing the film adaptation, and because Darabont's rights had lapsed, when you secure the rights, you have so long before to do something with it. And then it kind of just developed from there. You know, just like with a lot of movies, you know, somebody attaches to it to direct, but then they get a better option and it goes back and forth. But it was just last year that they 100% locked it in and locked in the people to star in it. So it was made pretty quick, which if you see the movie, you understand why. You know, you're not talking any big special effects. I mean, honestly, you know, you were talking about the kills. The kills aren't the horror part of this. The walk is the horror part.
Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah, because it's not like it's this extravagant multi-camera shoot or anything. It's pretty in the ways of cinema. It's pretty simple, but it is I lost what I was going to say now. Something you had said that I don't recall now. Totally shooting a blank. I had a point that when you were talking, but I don't remember. I know what it was. There, you know, you talked about the end being adapted, but I think there was a couple other adaptations they made about, you know, like the speed of the walk and things like that. When as kind of the science of things adapts what man can do and what they can maintain and stuff. That I think in the book the speed required was a little higher. They've lowered it down a little bit to make it a little more realistic, a little more achievable. But again, you know, number four opening weekend, not a bad growth. Hopefully it maintains. I think it's definitely a movie that people should go watch. It's a fun movie. I think it's definitely a movie that would have a little bit of a across the board appeal. You don't have to be necessarily a diehard horror fan, I don't think, to enjoy this movie, because I think there's a lot more in the in your investment in the characters than there is the investment in the genre.
I mean, when you watch the movie, considering this was, if I'm not mistaken, the very first novel that Stephen King wrote, because you're right, it was back when he was writing under the pseudonym Bachman, Richard Bachman. And then in 85, that's when, you know, it kind of came out that he was Richard Bachman, and they put together, I want to say, a hardcover edition of all of the Bachman books. But he started writing this when he was in college. It wasn't the first one published, because his first published novel, as we all know, is Carrie. Yeah. But I mean, if you could take this book and read it at any decade, since he wrote it. And you could find a tie to something that happened in that decade, because the simple truth that he was trying to say is that, you know, there's horror in every decade that you could tie back to this book. Now, obviously, when he started writing it back in the 60s, you know, what was present in everyone's mind was the Vietnam War. But yeah, I think that just, you know, the thought of you have to walk, you cannot stop. You are eating and drinking and urinating and defecating on your feet while you're walking, what was it, 3-4 miles an hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the inhumanity, the, you know, it kind of, I mean, obviously with the Hunger Games, it was a lottery.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, in the book, it was a draft, not you. I don't think you volunteered, but anyway, or maybe you all volunteered and then they drafted from that, whoever volunteered. But anyway, you know, the Hunger Games, God, what else could you really tie it to? You know, what in so many regimes, the death marches that governments make people go on, whether you go back to the Nazis or, you know, things more current, it puts you in that because you literally are walking with these people as you watch the movie. So yeah, there's something in this movie, whether you like dramas, whether you like actions, whether you like horror, suspense, this movie had something that, I mean, unless you're a strict rom-com person, there wasn't a lot of that.
Wasn't a lot of romance.
No. And yeah. And you know, I love Judy Gere. And Greer, yes. And she's in this too.
Yeah.
So, and you also have to ask yourself, why was it only men? That's something, when I read the book, I understood because the time frame. But this is in the future. Although still, the draft, even today, is only men. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it opens up your mind to ask a lot of questions.
Perhaps that, you know, women are just too damn smart to volunteer for something so foolish.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, if you think about it, you know the real reason that women are not in the draft? It's not a misogyny thing.
No.
It's a population thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You know, you only need one man to populate something, but you need multiple women. You can put one man on an island with 10 women, and he can populate that island. You know, you're just going to start crossbreeding. You know, but yeah, I mean, the simple truth is, when you look at things like that, women are breeders. That's how we're viewed. I guess it is a misogyny thing. Never mind.
All right. Well, before we go too far down that. So out of 5 screams, Monica, what would you give The Long Walk?
I would definitely give it 4.
Oh, a 4.
I like thinker horror movies. I like character development. I like, you know, something that pulls you in and that you can relate to. And it had all that.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I would give it a 3.5. Not quite 4, but definitely better than a middle of the ground movie. You know, a 3 or whatever. It was definitely enjoyable. Definitely made you think. Definitely had a lot of room for interpretation, and there's a lot of layers here to peel back in this movie, if you so choose. And I don't even know that, just even in our moderately brief discussion here, that, you know, we were spoiler free, that, you know, we didn't even get a touch on a lot of it. So there you go.
And if you are a reader, I would definitely recommend going back and reading this movie. You can find it now under Stephen King, because it's been reproduced many times under his name.
Yeah.
But watch the movie and then read the book, because the book obviously is going to delve in even more to some of those secondary characters. And like I said, the ending is completely different. So, and I'm not, honestly, I like both endings equally. I really do.
Yeah. It's definitely worth going and seeing in the theaters. And it's one of those movies that I can't wait for it to get out video on demand and digital and everything else to be able to rewatch it again.
Oh, I would
Because
love to see some of the commentary, when it comes out. Yeah.
very good job. Very fun movie. Definitely to me, thus far, within our realm here, a top five movie of the year candidate, when we get to ranking those at the end of the year. So,
Yeah.
but again, next episode we will be reviewing the movie Him. That is me and Ike should be back unless he's somehow stranded at sea. And if so, then best wishes, Ike. I guess Monica will be back again. I don't know what to say about that.
And listen, and if listeners prefer Ike next time, I am happy to take his place on the cruise instead of the podcast. So that's
they
always an
could
option.
take the place on the cruise for his birthday. It's gotcha. Way to take that bullet, Monica.
Absolutely, I'm here
Yeah,
for you.
so well, thank you, Monica, for pinch hitting in this episode. And
You're very welcome.
we typically say thank you to the wife, so I guess thank you, Kayla, for taking Ike on a cruise. I don't know. But thank you also to all the listeners and followers for all your support out there. Everybody, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number two in Screams. Either way, you'll find us. We're on pretty much all of them. And also make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. And if it is applicable, give us a rating and review because that helps us in those algorithms on those platforms. So before we close out and get out of here, Monica, this is your chance. We're getting ready to get out of here. You're pinch hitting, you're stepping in. Is there anything that you want to add before we close out?
In case you don't hear from us before the holidays, have a very spooky Halloween.
Well, I venture you'll be back
Oh,
for
they'll
that.
hear from you. I mean
Well,
with you.
well, that sounded ominous. If you're
It
saying
really did.
people won't hear from me, then just remember, guys, when they say it's typically the spouse, it's typically the spouse. So,
Absolutely.
but I'm sure you'll be back on because we typically have you and Kayla on around the holiday, around I think
Oh,
Halloween.
sure.
So, I'm sure you'll be
Well,
back on around that time. So.
thank you for having me on. It's been lots of fun.
Sure. And thank you for being on your best behavior and not ranting and
I
raving. And
did.
I think all the gods in Valhalla, there was not like any public domain horror news or anything like that that would have set you off.
Oh, you're
So,
not wrong.
oh, thank you. Thank you. This is as smooth a sailing as it's going to get. So, and I even took the Dramamine before we embarked. So. All right. Thank you again. And guys, tune in next week when we will be reviewing the episode, or excuse me, the movie Him. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.